Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the opening theme for the show. We got an early version today. This is Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, one of the best in the business, and I'm so blessed to work with her each and every week, Danielle Orsino out of Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes. Danielle, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, I am just excited that we're about 3 weeks away from opening up the training camps. Next week on the show, we will have a guy that's in-depth with the Buffalo Bills, Steve, out there from Orchard Park, and we'll be out on a regular scheduled time of 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, but man, oh man, this is going to be great.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I can't wait. Good morning. I know you're up early, so good morning to everybody out there who's listening super early. Everything's going great. Everybody can reach out to me on Instagram at Birth of the Bay, and now I'm on Threads. I'm trying out this whole new Threads thing on Instagram. I'm trying to figure out how it works, but you can hit me up there, too. Once you figure out how it works, then you can let me know. But I guess we just jump right into it and see what's going on. Because there's, as usual, the NFL is buzzing again. So we have a couple things going on. The superfan, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs superfan was arrested. Apparently he's been bank robbing and then buying the tickets to go see the Chiefs. So, you know, we joked about that maybe the tickets have gotten out of hand. I do not suggest robbing banks to go, you know, afford to watch your team. But apparently this guy felt this was the only way. So the deal was he was arrested in connection with bank robberies in Oklahoma, and there was a string of them across the Midwest. Xavier Michael Budar, I'm probably messing up that name, so forgive me. But he's a self-proclaimed super fan of the football team. He had a robust social media presence with a Twitter handle at Chiefsaholic. He was arrested in December with a connection for a robbery at the Tulsa Teachers Federal Credit Union in Oklahoma, where authorities believe he stole over $150,000. He was then released. He removed his ankle monitor and then was a fugitive. They found him again, and it was determined that in April to December 2022, he purchased over $1 million in chips from casinos in Missouri, Kansas, and Illinois. And then I don't know what he did, but he was redeeming them. He was going crazy with that. But now they're looking into a bunch of unresolved bank robberies during the same period. He's also accused of stealing $70,000 from the Great Western Bank in Clive on March 2nd, 2022, and then transporting the stolen money across state lines. But this was all to buy tickets to go see the Chiefs. Go figure that.
Wow. I mean, and when you look at that, Danielle, you bring up an interesting thing. And we've talked about, you know, fanatics and fans. And last week we were dealing with a listener, Victor, that thought we were riding roughshod on his Rams. And we come to find out, we'll get into that situation. But we call it like we see it. Here's a guy that I guess had a sickness or whatever you want to call it. Infatuation with his beloved Kansas City Chiefs, so he was going to do whatever it took to get himself into some good seats and being a part of that Chiefs nation, whether it was robbing banks, robbing people on streets, who knows what he was doing, but took 4 months to bring it, and they got him, but crazy. I wouldn't expect that in Kansas City. I'd expect that in a big city. You know, if it was in L.A., New York, Chicago, I could say to myself, okay, I can roll with this. You know, everybody wants to be an actor or 15 minutes of fame. But Kansas City, a barbecue city, we're getting a guy robbing banks? just to be part of Chiefs Nation? You think on it, I'm laughing.
I don't know to say that. Like, I just want to know, did you go dress up as the mascot? Because I will say the Chiefs mascot's the greatest. If you showed up in that, I'm so here for it. But sure. Like, what do you want me to say? I mean, anything. I hope you enjoyed the games, dude, because you're not going back for a while. I hope it was worth it. I hope you got some good seats out of it. Hope you were there for some good games. Maybe you were sitting next to Paul Rudd. Don't know. I just, you know, people, I hope you had a good time. That's it, because I hope you got good seats. Maybe you were in a box, having a nice time, balling out. You know, what else you want me to say on that? There's just, Jesus, there's so much going on. Let's just jump into the Rams, because this has been, I was foaming at the mouth on this one. We had a couple people reach out to me after last week's show, and it was kind of funny, because after we had, I'm giving Victor way too much time, by the way, after we had the caller, you know, mention that we were not a good show because of how we were jumping on the Rams and blah, blah, blah. A couple of people reached out, and they had an interesting point where they said that they felt I had been very fair to the Rams and just bringing up the points of, you know, McVay wasn't sure he was even coming back as the coach after his Super Bowl hangover, which we all know is called a Super Bowl hangover for a reason. It happens, but they were like, they had thought that my commentary overall to the Rams was not as bad as this dude Victor was making it out. And one of their points was, if we were two guys talking, would this guy have come at us the way he did, or would he have let it go? Was it the fact that I was a woman and stuff? So they were going back and forth on that, which I thought was kind of interesting. But as we were discussing it, it then came out literally the next day that the Rams were trying to get rid of Matthew Stafford. They've been trying to dump him all of last season, because they didn't want to pay out the $59 million in contract bonuses. So it's kind of funny that here we were saying we're not sure of what the Rams' identity is, which was something I was saying for a while. You know, after everything McVay wanted out, they were kind of fire-sailing the whole thing. And then it comes out that they were trying to trade him. Lombardi stated on the Pat McAfee show that in the offseason, they were trying to get rid of Matthew Stafford. They were trading him out to whoever, anybody who would listen. The problem was whoever picked him up had to pay that $59 million bonus. And people were like, no, 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 I'm paying that. Like, no, thank you. So when we said that we were not sure what the Rams' identity was, they were trying to off Stafford. If you got rid of Stafford, what did you have left? And that was our whole argument, was that if Stafford didn't come back, what was the identity? And that's kind of what you and I have been going back and forth on. So there it was. They were trying to off him right after everything and being like, yep, let's get rid of the dude. So there you go. I don't know how you feel about that, Mark, but kind of funny.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, because, you know, when you bring facts to the table like we do each and every week, we just don't shoot from the hip without anything behind it. And I think when I looked at the Rams, they reminded me of the Florida Marlins in the heyday. You win a World Series, you gut the team. Here's a team that, you know, we talked about. They had no running game last year. They didn't even have a guy run 100 yards the whole season in 17 games. They were one-dimensional. They were a one-trick pony if you looked at it. Stafford gave them the Super Bowl, pretty much played. And then he had the concussions, the injuries and everything, and then we kind of throw him on the scrap heap. They got rid of guys like Ramsey and stuff like that. I'm surprised the coach even decided to come back. But it's a team that did it with smoke and mirrors. And yet we're supposed to give this team props. I'm not giving a team props if they do nothing to better themselves. You know, it's like anything. If you're not progressing every week, then you're regressing. And if you regress too much, then you're out of sight and out of mind, and nobody really remembers and really cares what you did a few years back or whatever. And that's where the Rams are. Mm-hmm. And the Rams heading into this year, they've done absolutely nothing except draft a quarterback out of Georgia who I particularly like in Stetson Bennett. But this team's going to be hard-pressed to win 3-4 games. I shot from the hip last week and told Victor that. They're not going to win a lot of games. Before you comment on that, let me bring some callers' questions in. Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass, a regular listener here, says, you guys got a smoking gun thing going with that guy out there in California. My Patriots are going to do some damage in the East. I know everybody's looking at the Bills and some of these other teams. Can't wait to hear next week's guy talk about the Bills. The Patriots will do some wonders. Go live with the Patriots, red, white, and blue. Well, that's a great question. I like the Patriots, Belichick. They're getting back to defense. They're drafting in the, in the draft. Danielle, any thought on Dalen out there in Chelmsford, regular listener, talking about watch out for the Patriots?
I think he might be onto something. This is why the Bills turned around and said no to DeAndre Hopkins and left Hopkins open for the Patriots. That's the first thing. The Bills have not done enough on defense that if they don't get the Stephon Diggs situation open and the Patriots wind up picking Hopkins, and then there's talk of Dalvin Cook going there as well, I don't think the Bills are doing enough to fix the defense that the Patriots, and now we've got Miami even looking at Cook. If Miami and the Patriots do what they need to do, which they seem to be doing, and let's face it, Belichick's got a fire under his ass with what everything that Kraft is saying, I think they could be a little more dangerous, and I think the Bills could wind up regressing because I haven't seen enough done there. And I think they've been riding the coattails a little bit of we're the best here, and we've got the Jets moving up. So I think the Patriots will be one to watch. I'm still looking at Mac going, I don't know who you are as a quarterback yet, but it's Belichick. You cannot underestimate the Emperor. You just can't, so I would be looking at the Patriots a little side-eyed right now because, he has a way of putting the pieces together. So I kind of agree. Look, I'm not saying, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying they could upset the balance. Don't underestimate them.
No, and I will tell you this, and, when you look at the Pats, I've said it from the – as long as Belichick's there, they're going to be relevant. I mean, they can have an off year and Brady's, and stuff like that, but they're a relevant team. Lance from Pensacola, Florida, coming in, another regular guy, listen to the show, early version. He said he's driving around. What do the Bucs need to be contenders? I know they brought in Baker Mayfield. Everybody's looking at New Orleans. And somebody, you were mentioning Atlanta, Mancini. Where do you see the Bucs going? Well, I'll give it to you first, Danielle, for Lance out there and the Bucs. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm part of a Tampa show, but pretty interesting. That division's going to be all quarterbacks, and I still like Atlanta.
I like Atlanta. I think the Bucs need to do something with the running backs. I still think – because I think Mayfield needs a little more time. So I would – you see, I would have – like I said, I thought that's where Zeke should have gone. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucs came in and snuck in a running back that we don't see coming, like made a play for one of these running backs, and we were just like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. I think the Bucs could do something, but I want to see Mayfield shake off some of the nerves. I think the problem with Mayfield is he tends to force to make himself relevant, and that's where he makes mistakes. I don't think there is much of a competition between the quarterbacks as people are making it out, and that puts too much pressure on Mayfield. I think if he sits back, relaxes, Mayfield can do something. There's no doubt. I like Mayfield. I've always liked him. Pressure on him, and that makes him dangerous and sloppy in the pocket. I think the pressure needs to come off, and I think the Bucs can do something. But I'd love to see another type of running back in there to take some of the pressure off Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't really see them. I mean, they're going to have to really do some damage. That whole division is going to be tough. You see what New Orleans has done, bringing in Carr, and I don't more or less see Tampa being a player in all of this. But who knows? And we appreciate the call, Lance from Pensacola, Florida, an avid listener. Giving it back to you, another topic you want to break down, Danielle?
I know this was something you and I discussed a little bit, Mark, yesterday. We've heard a little bit about, it was quiet for a while, the Michael Irvin situation. It came down yesterday that the case is moving forward. Now, the case that is moving forward, a lot of people are confused on. They think it's against him. That case is not what is moving forward. What is moving forward is the civil case that Irving has against Marriott. That is what is moving forward. For anybody who's confused on this or has forgotten because it's been dead silent, Michael Irvin has been off the air on ESPN and NFL. He is still suspended for the accusation that he sexually harassed a woman who was an employee at the Marriott's hotel the week of the Super Bowl. So she put in a complaint. Security came. They kicked him off the property. And basically his attitude was, you took her word over mine without properly investigating it. So he is suing the Marriott properties for $100 million because he lost his coverage. He can no longer make public appearances. He had stuff with PepsiCo and all these other sponsors. And he's like, I lost all this money. So he is suing them. She is sticking to her word, saying, nope, he said lewd comments. He said all this stuff. There is video, but because it was in a public place, there's no audio. So he went, he sued. The case is moving forward, which just means that, yes, something transpired, but because it's civil, it's on the plaintiff to prove his case, not on the defendant. She doesn't have to prove she's innocent. He has to prove that she did this with malicious and evil intent to go after him. So that is what is currently happening, and it is moving forward. So that's where we're at right now. But, you know, we were talking about this, and it's kind of crazy that it's happening because this is also happening right after what they're calling the bloodbath in Bristol, where ESPN fired, I think we're up to like 21 high-profile right. broadcasters. And he is still suspended off the NFL network. So it's kind of crazy that this is all happening. But the NFL has not decided what will happen if this is still going on, which it looks like it will be, into the season, which he was a staple on their Sunday game, their Sunday show with, you know, Kurt Warner, Rick Eisen, all those guys. I don't know who will take that spot.
Well,
but that's what's happening right now.
We talked about this before, Danielle, and in I look at it like this. I mean, everybody's got a weakness. Or a sickness. It just depends on how you handle it. If this guy's trying to mess around with a maid in a room or, you know, a woman at a bar and buying a martini, it's going to come back and bite you more ways than one once they know who you are, high-profile personality or whatever. I don't know what the hell happened, but I've heard a lot of these things, so I'm just going to take the perception of what this thing's all about. If you've got a problem and you're trying to, you know, go out there and finagle and whatever, it's going to cost you more than a martini in the long run. You know, you can either pay me now or you can pay me later, but either way, it's going to get, you know, it's going to come back to get you. And I think what these guys got to realize is the money they are doling out left and right, go get yourself a hooker or whatever, and that's it. Let bygones be bygones. Everybody can, you know, figure out, okay, this was a paid proposition or whatever. But when you start rolling around with a maid that's cleaning rooms and stuff and you don't want to pay for something, it's going to come back because somewhere along the line, you know, she's going to know somebody and say, hey, you know what, I've rolled around with this guy. They're going to, you know, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching is going to hit, and this is what's happening. And I hear so many of these people that do this kind of thing that figure it's not going to come back and bite them. We've seen the John Morants in Memphis. We've seen, the, you know, with hanging around with the wrong crowd. We've seen, you know, guys that dabble into other stuff, whether it's gambling, whether it's, you know, alcoholism or whatever. And they don't do anything about it until the crap hits the fan, and then all of a sudden, well, I didn't know that. Come on, you know, Michael Irvin's a smart guy. Been around. He knows exactly what he's doing as far as what's going on in these hotel rooms or these bars or whatever it is. Just pay the lady for a service and that's it. No, there's no questions asked. But when you do this kind of stuff, now people are going to wonder, you know, what are you trying to get at? And he's got a lot of money.
Well, here's my feeling on this. I mean, from what they can see, it was out in the open. He touched her arm, whatever. She's saying things. Right. He said, my feeling is this. If, as a player, I have a different point of view maybe as a woman, and some women are not going to agree with me. I think 90% these women have viable complaints, but I think there are 10% that are like, watch this. He got money. I'm going to go do what I got to do. In this situation, I don't know. She's claiming one thing, you know, but ESPN and the NFL Network have both had complaints filed with costumers, makeup artists, where these guys have been very rude. They've had a lot of comments where they've had to pay out. My feeling is this. If you are a player and you're getting drunk, because Irving said he was wasted, he doesn't even remember the exchange. My feeling, and this is just coming from me, you got a lot of money. You're out with your boys. Hire the security so these people don't even come near you. That's my feeling. Be seen as an asshole, whatever. But when they come up to you, have security go, no, I'm sorry, not tonight. And just get rid of them. Don't even have the exchange. Because if you don't have the exchange, nobody can say anything. What's the worst they can say? Yeah, I met so-and-so. What a jerk. He didn't even talk to me. Okay, that's the worst they can say about you. Nobody can say you said anything, because you know what? Your security guy cut it off before it happened. If you're going to go out and get drunk with your guys, which you should be able to, you are not on public display 24/7. You're not here for our consumption. You're allowed to go out, have a good time. You're not on the clock. But then nobody can say you said anything. Just pay. You have the money, because trust me, that security guy you hired that night is going to be a lot cheaper than this lawsuit you're going through. Because at the end of the day, if you don't prove that she did this, you're out all that money. Who cares? So you got a bodyguard for the night who keeps these women away from you, who maybe are looking to, you know, to capitalize on it, who don't have the best intention. So keep them away. But if you're out trolling to do something, or you do say something stupid, dude, come on. Like I said, you know there are people out there looking to make a quick buck. I'm not saying they're right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these women should be capitalizing off of it. That's not what I'm saying. But just protect yourself, because there are stupid people out there. There are evil people and mean people. Don't give them the chance. Just don't do it. You know, we've seen it happen before.
That's my point. I cannot read this on the air, but one of the Kenneth from Peoria, Arizona, commented on it, and I just can't bring it up on the air, but it's the power of it, and people can figure out whatever that was on that side of the coin, but we'll refrain from that. It's extraordinary, and I will just leave it like this, Kenneth, and I've always said this to Danielle, a man can't live without a woman, but a woman can definitely live without a man, so we'll just leave it at that, and As we start to transition into another topic here with about 7 minutes and some change left on this show, all I can say is to put a rainbow on this one or put a bow on it is I've seen so many of these things. He's not going to be the last, and we'll just continue this. Mm-hmm. And if you want to really bring up a situation, just look in New York. It's a different situation because we've got a guy chasing cougars out there in Wilson. That's not going to last too long either. So,
no.
You know, that's another roundabout thing. I don't know if he's looking for a sugar mama to compensate his meager NFL salary, but, you know, they've got a game plan in New York, and Wilson better get on board or he's going to find himself out of that city in a heartbeat. Any final comments on some of these things, Danielle, with Wilson as well?
I got nothing to say on Wilson. He's out. I mean, he should be, if I'm Zach Wilson, I'd be taking notes on everything Rodgers is doing. I would be throwing myself and proving that I deserve to be there and under the tutelage of Aaron Rodgers. Not be worried about anything else that's happening except being a Jet and trying to be the best backup I could possibly be, knowing that my time is probably winding down. You know, I'd be worried about that stuff, but not all the other BS that is going on.
No doubt about it. Hey, Joey from Bucks County, PA said, he wants to throw a quick topic. He said how the emails of John Gruden led to the fall of Commanders owner Dan Snyder. I don't know too much about that one. I mean, I'm a big Skins fan on the NFC side of things, but I just think the whole thing, I think Snyder caved in. I would have never caved in on the name. I don't care. So, you know, this is not a name that was just turned over last night or, you know, a month ago or a year ago. This has been in existence 87 years. And to turn that name around because people thought it was derogatory, I'm going to stick with it. I would have never got rid of the name. I would have got rid of the team as far as selling it. But Snyder showed me another
side. Yeah, I
would
have done the name.
You know,
I would have the name is a little. It's
well, yeah, but here's the only thing I have with that, Danielle, and we could always agree to disagree. That's what makes our show that much better. But I grew up with the Redskins and Cowboys, and that rivalry was huge with Theismann and all those. And you know, when you sit here and take the Skins and the Cowboys out of the mix. And you come up with another name that reminds me of the Thunderbirds or some puppeteer type of thing. Doesn't quite make a lot of sense, but 87 years, that's the key here, is 87 years in existence. I mean, you know, and hey, we can pick apart a lot of teams here. We can get a Christian movement saying something about the Saints. We can get somebody to come out and say 9/11 with the Jets. We can get a bird movement with the Eagles and all these other teams. So, you know, it just leaves a bitter taste in my mouth because I don't think it's derogatory to the remark. The Native American Indians never had a problem with it to a certain existence. So as long as they're getting promoted and everything. And, hey, listen, I never had a problem being Italian when New York came out with the New Jersey, New York hitman of the USFL and stuff or whatever. XFL. I never had a problem with that. I thought, okay, they're giving the Italians. But the people that stand here and want to change stuff probably have no job, and they love to protest every day to a certain extent. That's all I'm looking at. That's just one man's opinion.
Okay, that's fair. I think the Skins, I understand. I didn't care for the Commanders that as a name. I was kind of like, really, that's the best we could do. That
right.
wasn't my first choice for a name personally, but nobody asked me. As for the Gruden email situation, it is still in court, Bucks County. They're still going back and forth and looking for transparency. Gruden is actually at the next level, I believe, because he does want it brought. He does not want it to go behind closed doors in mediation. He wants it actually brought out to the forefront so people can see exactly what went down. Do I think Snyder had something more to do with, like, Gruden's firing and all that? Yeah, I don't think it was as cut and dry, like, oh, we just happened to release these emails. Look at this. No, I think there's a lot more behind the scenes. A lot more.
Well, not only that. I'll give you the fact
like
that I'll give you the fact Daniel Snyder wasn't a good owner. I'll give you that fact. But to backtrack after
that.
What he said in, you know, 2011, 12, whatever – but I'm never going to change a name, and then succumbs to pure pressure, I would have sold the team. You know, what I don't understand with people in life is you have to be true to yourself before you can be true to anybody else. And once you go against yourself, then it just becomes a downhill effect. If you take a stand and say, no, this is what I said, this is what I'm going to do, I think people respect you more. I don't care how many shows I do.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna stand here and back the Redskins name because I grew up with it. And if you want to look for anything derogatory in anything, we could sit here and break down the Pittsburgh Steelers where I'm from, and people could sit outside Heinz Field there or whatever and stand there and say, hey, I don't want to be associated with Steelers. I don't steal. So if you really want to break names down, you can break names down. But it just becomes a slippery slope in more ways than one. Hey, you and I can keep on going for hours, and I know the listeners love us back and forth bantering. I can't wait for next week because I think next week it's going to be a guy coming in here from Buffalo, Steve, going to give us in-depth Buffalo. Hopefully he won't bring up Buffalo and the Giants, and you guys won't get on back and forth on that.
We can go
I'm going to sit here and
well, I got no problem with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll sit back, and you can throw Scott Norwood at him, and, you know, maybe that'll shut him up. But that'll be a good one for next week. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, because I appreciate you each and every week doing this show, and I'm so blessed to have you by my side doing it.
Oh, I love to agree to disagree with you, Mark. It's always so much fun, and I love our listeners. And everybody can hit me up on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And like I said, if you figure out how threads work, I'm on it under the same handle. Like I said, if you figure out how to work, let me know. And then for the final week in July, I will be at GalaxyCon Raleigh at the Pop-Up Bookshop through July. I believe that I'm there all weekend until that Sunday, so you can pop in if you're going to be in Raleigh and come see me. I'll be signing my books, but of course we'll talk football, because at that point camps will have started and we'll know exactly what's going on, and hopefully Saquon will have signed by next Monday, because we didn't even talk about that. That's okay. We'll talk next week, and
yeah,
he'll be a Giant. So we'll see from there, Mark.
And she's better looking than Wonder Woman too. Just when you get up there, she'll sign your book and talk football, and us to do this show each and every week. We're back next week, Wednesday, again, same time. No, we're going to be at 7 o'clock regular scheduled time, Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. Steve will be joining us, giving an in-depth with the Buffalo Bills. For Daniel Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same channels. Till then, be good.